Hey, we started on time. We
Oh my
started at the same
gosh.
time.
Hit the damn record.
Hit the damn record. See where it records something. Yeah.
Hey, friend.
Hey, friend.
Welcome to the Unlikely Friends podcast,
where two friends abroad talk about race, race relations,
and what it means to us.
Yeah, and what it means, what it means to, us.
My name is Desma.
My name is David. Pleased to meet everybody. So if you're watching on YouTube, please like, share, subscribe, and hit the notification bell so that you know when we post a new video. So ding, ding, baby. Ding, ding.
Yeah, and we welcome any lovely comments. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for coming on this unlikely journey. And
absolutely,
if you subscribe and you hit those ding-dong bells, the algorithm gods will know what to do with you and your content. So
also, if you are listening to us on the linear platforms, please do likewise. Give us a like, and also the algorithm gods will love us even more.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
I just have to tell the truth. I'm just a little bit stressed. Just a little
bit. Oh
my
gosh. Okay.
Because I am moving house. I have to move house soon. And everybody knows who has ever moved a house before, it is annoying, because you know you have so much stuff that you didn't know you had. It's like, where did this why am I holding on to this? Where did this come from? And I think my biggest problem is that I have so much, no, wrong quantitative, I have so many clothes.
Really?
Clothes that I will never ever wear again. And let's be honest, clothes that don't fit. So
I am also guilty of that. I hang on to stuff, and I've been lucky enough that my weight has not fluctuated a whole lot in my life, but it has recently because, you know, oh, I'm so sorry. Do you hear the pitter patter of the little feet? That's my dog. Sorry.
I do, but I wasn't even paying attention.
Sorry,
yet.
Everybody.
So, I'm used to it. I have two cats.
Busy. So. I know. She's keeping herself busy doing something. Yeah. So, I mean, my body has changed recently. Perimenopause is so much fun. But yeah, I get it though. I hang on to those clothes, like the things that I wore 10 years ago that are certainly, they're not comfortably fitting right now. So I get it.
Mm-mm. I mean, I have jeans and, you know, at one point when I had the figure, skinny jeans were in, and I'm like, bruh, you will never get your fat ass in these skinny jeans again, no matter how much sport you will do. Put them
you
in.
You never know.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
You're like, no.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No,
okay,
ma'am.
Fine. It's your choice. It's your choice.
I'm
it's
like,
your body, your choice.
The looser, the better. I'm not getting into no skinny jeans no more. Sorry. No, ma'am.
Listen, after COVID, I already loved flowy pants. I already loved flowy pants so much. And like, I fell in love with sweatpants. And I've never been a sweatpants person.
Yeah.
I don't like the sweatpants, the you know, the ones that have the real soft inside. I like the jersey inside.
I like jersey
like,
inside.
Mm-mm. So it's not like you're not sweating your bucket off, you know? I love stretchy pants.
Mm-mm.
I love stretchy pants
much. I am sweatpant, you know, sweatpant hoodie. I'm good. I even go to school. Oh, I don't go to school wearing sweatpants, but I wear hoodies a lot at work. So
I'm a preschool teacher. Luckily, they have become a lot more flexible after COVID, especially here in terms of our dress code.
Yeah.
And so I tend to wear very, very casual things. Things I would have never worn a few years ago because
really?
I'm, you know, a professional teacher. Da, 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 da. I'm not wearing high heels to work necessarily, but I wasn't rocking jeans and sweatshirts. That's for sure.
Like, right.
That was a Friday thing only, you know?
I think COVID has changed the landscape of the professional field so much.
Yeah,
it did. I think a lot of the working regulations have changed because of COVID. I think a lot of the dress codes have changed a lot because of COVID. At my university where I work, there are still some classes that are online. They're still not face to face. And I don't know if it's because of COVID or because of the earthquake, or it's, these are just classes that just stayed online after COVID. They just, they were never classes that are taught face to face, whether they were master classes or PhD classes or even second year sophomore classes. I mean, these are classes that just stayed online classes. So a lot of, I think, especially in Turkey, I don't know about the United States, but in Turkey, the teaching landscape has changed a lot. So
speaking of teachers, listen, you told me to listen to a teacher online this week. You suggested I listen to her video or watch her video. She gives lectures. Her name is Nancy Eisenberg, and she wrote the book White Trash that was published some time ago, I think probably about 10 years ago, I think. And her lectures are really interesting. I don't feel personally confident enough to talk about what she talks about, but I will say that her lectures are very thought-provoking, and I appreciate you sending them to me so that I could listen to them.
Well, the reason why I sent it to you is because I watch YouTube like people watch Netflix. I just turn it on, and you know, whatever rabbit hole I fall down, that's the rabbit hole that I go down. And it had actually started, I had actually started watching a program whether Italians were considered to be white in the United States, or when they became white in America. And also then it was like the Irish, you know, indentured servitude, and, you know, the comparison with, you know, the Pan-American slave trade, blah, 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 yip, yip, yip. And it just like morphed into, you know, how white people became white in the United States. And this, that video popped up. I'm like, wow. I said, Desmond would really, and I was listening with half an ear. I have to be honest with you. I was literally listening with half an ear because I was packing my living room as I was listening to, because it was playing in the background. And it caught my attention when she was talking about the difference between a redneck, a hillbilly, and, you know, whatever names you got guys got going on. And it piqued my, I was like, oh my goodness. I said, I have no idea. You know, I wonder if Desmond knows, because knowing you're from the South, growing up in the Appalachian area, I was like, does she know about this? And if she does, maybe she can school me a little bit more. And that's why I sent the video to you, so you can watch it.
I mean, I the book is basically about a class in white culture, and like what class different white people are in, and how that came about, and the historical I don't know, the history of us being British, and how we came to the U.S. and what kinds of people came to the U.S. and all of the lovely things that they gave to us.
Right.
You know, in terms of like thinking about class structure and hierarchy and hierarchy. So, it was interesting to listen to her talk about it. I mean, I realized that there's class structure, but I think I needed to go a bit deeper, and I wouldn't mind reading her book. I'd never heard about it before, but I would like to dive into it, because she has a lot of things to say. So, I mean, again, I don't feel totally confident to talk about it fully, but I think if we give people the reference, a link, maybe they want to.
Yeah, when I edit this video, I'll put the link in the description for everybody to watch it. So it can be like a mini homework assignment. If you want to know why I sent it to Desmond, you can watch it. And if you have questions, please, by all means, write your question or write your comment in the comment section below. But again, please be very mindful. Please be very respectful. Any comments that are disrespectful, mean-spirited, I do delete, and I will hide you from our podcast. Speaking of comments,
Oh dear. Oh David. I know. Yes. You called me. He left me a message last week and he said, "Hey, Desma, there's some stuff, you know, on here, you know, people have some things to say." I'm sensitive to that kind of thing. I don't want anybody to feel I don't know. I don't want it. Well, but at the same time, I do. I was going to say I don't want people to feel uncomfortable, and I don't want to make people upset or anything like that. But at the same time, I do want to make people uncomfortable because yes. these conversations are uncomfortable, and they're uncomfortable for us to talk about, and they're uncomfortable to listen to, and they're uncomfortable to process. Maybe we should have just called this podcast "Uncomfortable Friends."
It's never too late to rebrand. So
listen. No matter how uncomfortable you are, it is still wildly important to listen and talk. So,
exactly. Sorry. So, no, you had to get that. No, I completely respect that. You had to get that out of your system, and that's healthy. That's absolutely fine. But there were some comments about a segment that I had done with you about a firefighter who, retiring firefighter who had made some confessions to a young black man about being a firefighter back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, that era, how lots of black families were not saved or were not...
they weren't rescued.
Made a priority. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Just to let my audience know, and I'm looking directly in the camera, when I tell stories like this, I am not telling stories for the sake of telling stories. I'm telling stories like that because they are true. And anytime that I do give a story like that and I put it on the interwebs, I know that people are going to come for me. So I know that my ducks have to be in a row. And when I do things like that, I have already researched to see if this is true or not. Right. So people calling me a liar on stage saying that I made it up just for clicks. No, ma'am. No, sir. I have the facts. Facts do not care about your feelings. And right now, I'm going to give you the facts. Okay.
Please.
Now, there was there was a study done by the CPSC, which stands for the Consumer Product Safety Commission, which is a branch of the United States government.
Okay.
If you don't know who they are, I will read from Wikipedia who they are so that you are as informed as I am. The CPSC is an independent agency of the United States government. The CPSC seeks to promote the safety of consumer products by addressing unreasonable risks of injury through coordinating recalls, evaluating products that are the subject of consumer complaints or industry reports, etc. Developing uniform safety standards, some mandatory, some through a voluntary standard process, and conducting research into product illness and injury. Having said that, the statistics that I pulled up for this particular story about the firefighter from the from that clip is based on the CPSC staff estimates for 2016 through 2018. There were about 360,000 home fires every year, leading to roughly 2,400 deaths. In addition, it is estimated that there are nearly 10,400 injuries per year. Research also shows that across all races, African Americans have the highest rates of fire deaths and injuries, nearly twice the overall death rate, and more than twice the overall injury rate. According to the CPSC's Residential Fire Loss Estimates report, although African Americans only represent 13% of the population, they represent an estimated 24% of home fire deaths and 27% of home fire injuries. Compared to their share of the population, African Americans were roughly twice as likely to be killed or injured in a home fire in 2017 and through 2011 as the overall population. The difference was even greater for children and older adults. The home fire death rate for African American children under 15, 14.6 deaths per million population, was four times the rate of 3.5 for white children the same age. African American adults 65 and older had a home fire death rate of 56.3 deaths per million, three times the 17.7 rate of white older adults. From a broader structural perspective, another way public officials can target the disparity in fire-related deaths heightened by the commission's report is by diversifying local fire departments. Based on 2019 workforce statistics from the Data USA, more than 95% of firefighters were male and just under 80% were white and non-Hispanic. That means that firefighters were letting black people die. Facts do not care about your feelings. Do not come for me if you do not have the facts. I do.
There are a lot of things that surprise me about our conversations, you know, like I'm always the one that's like, oh, well, that's not a surprise. Of course, people are awful, you know, like,
yes, you know, people are
but
awful.
That's huge. I had no idea that was such an issue.
Yes. Black people or African Americans, let's say, only make up 13% of America's population, but 24% more likely to die in a house fire.
To die.
Make that make sense. When somebody calls me a liar, make that make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'd like to know the reason why. I think I already know the reason why. But I'd like to know, is it due to where the communities are? Is it due to?
No, I don't think that has any role.
I mean, I'm just sitting here spitballing because there's no reason other than the reason that you and I both know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I'm just trying to like work it out in my head.
And that's fine. I mean, I have absolutely no druthers entertaining that. But when someone in our comment section out and out calls me a liar and then one person called me a black liar, I was like,
whoa, are you serious? See, here's the thing. I don't like to read these comments because I don't like to read upsetting things.
Yeah.
I'm sensitive.
And that's fine. My skin is a little bit thicker than yours. I'll read them.
But at the same time, I do want people to be uncomfortable because these things are uncomfortable. Those facts are not comfortable.
No. And like I said, facts don't care about your feelings.
Yeah,
facts don't care about your feelings. You know,
that's if your the theme feelings, of our podcast today.
That if you're if your feelings are hurt, you know, then
investigate your feelings.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry. I mean, because there are so many things that black people and you know, black and brown people, I should say, black and brown people or people who are minority, there are so many things. There are so many things that we had to go through in this country because our skin isn't white. And then when a mirror is shown to you, it's like, this is how you are. You get, you know, butt hurt. It's like, please, it's okay for you to dish it out, but you can't take it. Stop. Right, please just stop.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I was doing a musical. It was actually Chorus Line, and I played the only black role that there was, Richie. Give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was literally the night of the performance. And the girl who was doing the choreography had not choreographed my number, and we were performing that night.
What?
Yes.
Okay, for anybody that doesn't have any idea or theatrical experience, typically what happens is you rehearse a show, you rehearse and rehearse and rehearse for months ahead, and then you do the show. And with dance rehearsals, they're very technical and they take a long time because dances are technical and they take a while to learn, as does music and all of that, and they're all separate. So typically when you would have a show, you would definitely already know your dance the day of the performance. Okay, I'm sorry. I just had to explain that.
No, explain.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the interesting thing was is that my number that I had to perform was called Give Me the Ball or Give Me the Ball. She had done the background choreography for the rest of the cast, but she had not choreographed what I should do in the number. And the night of the show, I said to him, like, you know, you still have not given me anything what I can do on stage tonight. And she looked at me straight in my face and she says, do I look darker than you?
Huh? Oh.
Because I asked her to choreograph something for me. I says, can you choreograph something for me? Do I look darker than you?
On what planet is that acceptable?
One of the girls, and I said, oh, really? Oh, really? And I went to the director. I says, and it was the night of the performance. I said to him, I said, find a new Richie now. And I went back. I ran. I went back to the dressing room. I took off my costume. He came running behind me. He was like, no, don't. He says, you can't. I says, yes, I can. And I explained to him what happened. And there was a girl who was speaking to the choreographer. She was like, I can't believe that you just said that to him. She says, do you know how racist that is? And the girl was like, oh, it's not racist. It's not racist. That's just something we say. It's not racist. And the girl was like, oh my God. Even the girl, she was a chorus member. She was like,
I'm
leaving.
Who says that? Your racist grandfather?
Yeah. She was like, the girl was like, I'm leaving. Okay. I'm with David. I'm leaving. And then another person said, I'm out of here. I can't believe that this girl just said that to him. And I was, and I said to everybody, I says, look, this is your show. You do your show. I'm leaving. Yeah. And the director went ballistic on this girl. And she and I don't even remember her name.
Well, somebody needed to.
But she came back and she came back to me. I was in the dressing room. I was putting everything in my bag. I was fuming. And she came back to me. She was in tears. She was like, I am so sorry. I had no idea. And I didn't realize. But I was just like, it's just something that I was like, no, sis.
Yeah, exactly. You pack that away. No. You pack that away. You take this suitcase. You put those tears inside. I don't want to hear that crap.
No, I don't. I said, don't come here with your alligator tears now. I says, because everybody is yelling at you because you said something so unbelievably racist to me.
That
I says,
ugly.
I do not have to accept your apology. And she's like, no, come on. We can do it. We can choreograph something now. I says, it is 10 minutes to the show. How are we going to choreograph something? How? She was like, oh, come on. She says, please, just come on. And one of the girls, she said to me, she leaned over to me. She says, David, you won. Just learn the choreography. And I looked at her. I says, no, I didn't win.
Yeah.
I did not.
And that's not
win.
About winning anything.
And it's not about winning, right? It's not about winning.
That's about somebody that needs to understand the power of those words.
And
That's just ugly.
I said to her, I don't even want you to choreograph anything for me. And the the girl who spoke to me, who said to me, she says, you won. I said to her, do you know how to choreograph for this show? Mm. And she says, yeah, I did the show before. I says, then show me some things that I can do on stage. And I basically choreographed my own number on stage on the fly. Mm-hmm. And right. The girl, she wouldn't even look at me for the rest of the run. She wouldn't even, if I was sitting in a room, she would not even come into that room because nobody wanted her around after she made that comment, except one of the guys that she was having a relationship with, who was like 3 years her junior. Anyway, that was actually the second time in my life where I experienced racism.
Oh, so, okay. So this is a good question. Like, yeah. When did you experience that? Like, what? So that's one time.
There was one time before that.
When do you remember, what was your first experience like as a kid? Like, when do you remember being like, oh, my skin is this color?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. When I remember that day.
Did that occur to you?
I remember that day as if it were yesterday. And it was very ironic because my mother and father sat us all down when we were in grammar school and said, look, you are little black children. You are not white children. You are going to be treated and talked to differently. My parents made us extremely aware of the differences between white folks and black folks. And, you know, and not in a racist way, but a more of a survival way. Is like, look, you are not going to be treated different, like them. It's just not how it's going to be. And we had to accept that, you know, it's just the way it is. We had to accept it. Anyway, I didn't realize what they were talking about. It didn't really, for me, I don't know why I'm a slow learner, I suppose. It didn't internalize for me until one day when we were at school. We were in the cafeteria, and I was in front of one of the girls who I thought, we weren't friends, but I thought we were cool. You know, I didn't have anything against her. She didn't have I didn't think that she had anything against me. Mm-hmm. And it was pizza day, and I took the last slice of the pepperoni pizza, and it was only like cheese pizza with mushrooms. I hate mushrooms. Cheese and mushroom pizza left. And she yelled at me. She says, don't take that pizza. I'm like, why? I says, I don't like mushrooms. And I took the pizza and she said, you nigger. She said, and I turned around and the lunch lady said, how dare you? And it didn't dawn on me.
Holy bananas. How old are you?
Maybe grammar school, like maybe 9 or 10, maybe a bit younger.
Gosh.
She screamed it. She didn't say it. She screamed it. Mm. Yeah. And I was just like, she said that to me?
Yeah. Did you know, like, had you ever heard anybody use it in that kind of?
No, no. I had only ever heard it as a black person would hear it within our community as a term of endearment, you know?
Right.
But
right.
When somebody calls you that derogatory,
yeah,
it hits different. And I was so shocked. I was like, I was so shocked. And the lunchroom lady, she was like, how dare you? She says, that's the most disgusting thing. And she pulled
her.
Yeah, she pulled her out of the line. She says, it's a Spanish woman. She says, you're going to go to the principal right now. I can't do a Spanish accent. I shouldn't even do that. And the little girl was like, why? He took the last piece. She was like, I was saying to myself, I thought she was a friend of mine.
Yeah. And like, why be so intense, Becky? Calm down. It's just pizza. Jeez.
Yeah, it was just pizza. That was just it.
But that's a learned behavior. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Absolutely. Not a behavior that just comes naturally to anybody. Like, and that word is definitely a learned word. when it comes with that much vitriol.
I mean, and who in like, grammar school knows to use that word?
Only who? If you've heard it.
Right. Yeah. Who in grammar school knows to use that word? Unless if you've your heard family it being or your thrown around or at home. Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, that was the first time. The second time it was racism was in that musical. And then the third time, no, I'm lying. That was the third time I had experienced. The second time was before that. I was in high school and my best friend in high school, I'm not going to say his name, but he was a little Jewish boy. He was 1 year behind me. But, you know, we really had a very good friendship because we were both singers. He was a baritone, I was a tenor, and we liked to sing together. And we were in state chorus together and all that good stuff. And we had to go to rehearsal one day. So my parents would take us to rehearsal, and his parents would pick us up from rehearsal and bring us back home. So his parents picked us up, piled us into the car, and I don't know what exactly or who was at fault, but somebody cut us off, and clearly it was a black man. And the father, you know, slammed on the horn, and he says, and then he realized what he said.
Oh,
and he
my gosh, up, and that you were in the car.
Yes, and he looked up in his rearview mirror. He says, David, no, not you. I'm so sorry. And I said
to
him,
what do you mean, not me?
And I said to him, I says, I don't know what that means, but can you drop me off here, please?
You knew what that meant.
Of course I knew what that meant, but I just said, can you drop me off here? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because my best friend was in the car and my best friend was so embarrassed. And what made it even worse was that they were Jewish.
Yeah. Weird.
I mean, yarmulke wearing Jews.
Right. I mean, yeah, that deserves a whole conversation in itself.
but like, that was the second time I experienced racism.
Wow. I mean, obviously, I don't really know. I certainly don't know what it feels like in that way. But I know what it feels like to be a bit of a minority. And my only experience with that is, or my first experience with that would be like, I went to a school, an elementary school, where there were two black kids and that was it. It was like a family in rural South Carolina. You know, people were tobacco farmers and like, you know, it's a farming community. And then some zoning things happened with the school district in the years that I was in elementary school. And so when I went to middle school, it was like this community and this community came together and then they had a school together. And it was my first experience being around so many peers that didn't look like me. And it was interesting. And I remember like a couple of classes being like, golly, I don't see any faces that look like mine. Like it was, I felt like a bit of a minority, but I know certainly that's not, you know, I'm not making a comparison, but I felt different, you know? And it was quite a culture shock. Because I didn't know, I was just so naive. And I'd not been around a lot of black people in my little babyhood. I didn't know anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was a weird experience. All right, let's do our... dancing out. Dun, 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 dun. Thank you for chatting with me today.
Thank you for chatting with me today.
It was so nice to hang out.
Take your time out of your beautiful day. Well, I wouldn't say it's beautiful, but
I know today's kind of yuck in Istanbul, but it was lovely talking to you anyway. And thank you so much for listening to Unlikely Friends. We're so glad that you joined us on this unlikely journey.
Yeah. And if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure that you like, share, and subscribe to the channel. And also hit the notification bell so that you know when we post up a new video. Ding, ding, baby. Ding, ding. And please like the video so that the algorithm gods know that we are doing a good job. Hit the like button. Hit it!
And your content. Yeah, your content will just, they'll know exactly what you want to listen to. That's the beauty about the algorithm gods, you know?
Yes. That's what they do. If you're watching on linear platform, please do the same thing. Give us a like. You can probably share and subscribe. We're on Spotify as well. Yeah,
nice. Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, friend.
Okay. See you later, friend. Bye.
Peace.